And so for a lot of us in here, we can trace back to when God knocked on the door of our heart and said, come on, let me in. Because for most of us, it was in a time of desperation. It was in a time where we were living crazy and we didn't recognize who God was and know who he was. But God stooped down in his mercy and grace and lifted the veil of your heart so you could see who he was and said, let me in. Your eyes were open because of the grace and mercy of Christ. That's it. That's it. Because he had something for you. He wanted so bad for you to see that he loved you that not only did he die on the cross for you, but he chased you down in the state you were in. And for most of us, if we were to look at that, it was at a pivotal point in our life. Pivotal point. And not only did he chase you down, but he's still chasing you down. You're that precious to him. David said, I can't even count the thoughts. They're too numerous that you have toward me. There's an intimacy that God wants to have with you that transcends everything in the natural sense so that you can understand the beauty of God and what he created. God does not create junk, and he's not just throw things away that he created. So much so, you know that God is intimate. If it were the other way, God would have created and let it just run its course. But God said, because I love the world, I gave. Not just that I gave, but even before that, up to the giving, I came. And so God was trying to reveal to you through types and shadows, as we read the Old Testament, of who he was. He was always going to come because there would be no way for you to get back to him. God said, "There, I've been trying to show you for years who I am." Years. That's why there's such a fight for Christians and for people to come out of hiding and to come out of lies so that they can see what truth is. And if you don't think so, think of what you've had to deal with as far as distraction in your life. Distraction. It's not the fact that God isn't good. He's good. It's not the fact that God doesn't want a relationship with you. He does. It's the fact that you have to get through the distraction and those things that are trying to blind you from what actually is. And that's just life. That's just life. But God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he called precious is still precious. Okay? A rape victim to God is still precious. Okay? God still loves those that are homeless and are abandoned. Okay? God still loves you in the state that you are right now. How could you say that? God's love does not change. God is always talking about the hope that we have in a future. The Bible says hope doesn't disappoint. But before it says that, it says, not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So I can have hope, but I can't necessarily have real hope unless I understand the correlation between perseverance, character, and hope. Okay? We talk all about, I have hope, but it's not until you go through something really difficult that you understand the value of hope. And what hope actually is. It doesn't disappoint. Why? Because it's the one thing that got me through my last issue. And it's the one thing that I keep my eyes on. Because that's the thing that got me going and kept me from killing myself in the last season. If I didn't have hope, I may not be here. But I learned to rejoice in my suffering because suffering produced something in me that didn't come any other way, and it was perseverance. And when I learned to persevere, then I saw the character of Christ being developed in me. And when I saw the character of Christ being developed in me, then I saw this thing is real. Jesus is real. There's a hope now that I have because he went through it. So can I. See, that is developed in you. You have to have that desire and tenacity to say, though that comes in my life, I am going to understand the value of suffering because it produces something in me. It doesn't get produced any other way. I've got to learn what it is. But when I learn to persevere, I develop. And after I develop, I realize there is someone at work that I can't see. But I can sense that he's inside of me. And then when this is done and the glory of God is revealed, it'd be worth it. But suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Something that the world needs now. So when the Bible says that you are the city on a hill, it means You are the hope that the world is looking at. Okay, not that you were Jesus, but because you are now that light, you are the city on a hill, people are looking at you because now they can say, there is actually someone who has the answer. There is someone who's been through the process. There is someone carrying the torch for what this is really about. There must be something there worth investigating. So what am I saying? Get on the hill. Stay on the hill. I've got this box here. You know, we've got this idea that Christ isn't enough. But we just read that he is now the chief cornerstone. He is the thing that everything else is dependent upon. Okay? And we build our life upon him. Okay? But before we were there, we were adrift and afar off. We might have heard about him. We maybe saw him from a distance. But most of us were lame in our emotions. We were devastated. We were not living the way we're supposed to. And we were limping through life. It's not until we found Jesus and we heard who he was that we finally said, you know what? That might be worth getting a try. And we really couldn't walk over. Most of us limped until we saw it. And we finally got on it. And we realized that this thing is safe. This thing is safe. It's sturdy because we were looking for something that wasn't going to sink anymore. We were so tired of sinking, so tired of losing what we thought was pleasure and what we thought was real life, that we were looking for something real and stable. But then when we found Jesus, we realized this isn't so bad. He's pretty stable. We mean, you got someone who'll never leave me or forsake me? I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that one. So we finally get on this thing and we realize he's pretty strong. He's pretty stable. And most of you, and God has allowed you to test him in that. Allowed you to test him. Move around a little bit. Try to see if it'll move. But the box doesn't move. The box is here. The rock doesn't move. Okay? It's stable. You can try to jump off the rock. You can try to get in your own way or get out of the way, but the rock doesn't move. The rock doesn't move. It's always your true north. That's why as Christians, chosen by God, it's that gravity that keeps pulling you back to it. So, and you know, when you try to override the boundaries that have been set or doubt starts to creep in, the Word of God has a tendency to pull you back in to the way you're supposed to be so you can get back. Okay, get back. Now, what am I saying? It means that when you go through hardship and suffering and you're fighting and you're wounded, he knows. He knows. And sometimes you get off the rock and you're fighting and it seems like you're fighting things. Or you're on it and you got one foot on and one foot off and you're trying to balance. You're trying to live for Christ, but you're trying to defeat the enemy over here. You got distractions going on and you're trying to do, come on. Come on, voice, okay? You're trying to do the thing that God has called you to do, but you've got all the stuff around you that is vying for your attention, vying for it. And sometimes you feel like you're fighting around the back. But you're precious. And he said, if you'll stand on me, I'll help you through it. I'll help you through it. Because if you remain in me, you'll bear fruit. And that fruit will remain. If you decide to step out, you won't bear the fruit. And so we have a lot of Christians straddling. I want him here. Just enough. He's my lifeline. I know just enough to know I got him where I want him. But I also have my foot here in what I want. So you got this match going on and you are stretching. And you can't stay in this position for a long time. Because eventually something's going to break. And so what God said is that if you decide and continue to walk in compromise, something is going to break in your life. And it's not going to be the thing that you necessarily want to break. Because God said, I'll allow the breaking in order to get you back this way. So stay the way you must, stay in that position, but understand you're only going to be able to hold that tension so long, so long. And so that's what we have. And that's when we get the statement where we say, I got 1 foot in the world, and then I have 1 foot out of the world. So I love the Lord, but I also love what I'm doing. Lot's wife. I hear your Lord, but you shouldn't make it. And there comes a time in your life where you understand and realize that unless I stay on this, I'm not going to make it. If I don't stay on this, I'm not going to make it because there are going to be things that are going to try to knock me off this thing. I got to stay where I'm supposed to stay. He's the chief cornerstone. When I realize that I can't do anything without him, it is not productive or beneficial for me to jump down and swim for sharks and to take the bait of what everybody else is trying to do. So notice this. Isn't that what Nehemiah said when he was rebuilding the wall? And they came to him with reports trying to get him to stop what he was doing. And he said, the work is too great for me to come down right now. And by the way, I know what your motive is. Because I'm on the rock. I'm doing what God has called me to do. I can recognize when the enemy is trying to bring in an attack. I can recognize when he's trying to thwart my progress. So I will not bow down to that. And I will say no to that. And it frustrated the enemy's plans. Because as you work for God and do what God's called you to do, the enemy is always going to try to get you distracted and try to get you to look down. And what is? You may look down, but look back up. Look back up. There's too much going on. When I'm up here, I can see better. Because I see as Christ sees. Because remember, he's seated in heavenly places. He sees it all. And so when I'm standing on that cornerstone, and if I am that stone being built up into a spiritual house, guess what, Sharon? I can see like he sees now. So when I see something that goes against what is godly or goes against what is God's purpose for my life, I can recognize it, see it, but dismiss it. I don't have to give in to it. It doesn't mean that temptation will not be there because no temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. But with it, God will provide a way of escape. You know what your way of escape is? Look up. Look away. Look up. Look away. Because it's not the first look that gets you. It's the second one, the third one. And all of a sudden, you're now looking at the wife of someone who is bathing on top of a rooftop when you should be out doing what God has called you to do and look down and say, who is that? I want that. So what is it for you that is vying for your attention that you're looking at right now? And God's saying, careful. You're precious. You're precious. And I'm too good to let you to continue to go that way without knocking on your conscience and saying, stop. Because I have stuff for you. Don't you think that what you've gone through is just a sign of what I have for you? Not just what I have for you, but the value that I find in you, that I've allowed the enemy to fight you, that I've allowed temptation so that you can learn how to resist it. Don't you think that I've allowed things in your life so that you can learn how to deal with pressure? I've allowed things so you can learn how to deal with rejection. I've showed you how to persevere. I've showed you the value of being a Christian. I've showed you my goodness in the midst of hardship and trial, and you've learned things that you would not be able to learn any other way. Don't you think that I go to great lengths to get you and get your attention so that you can become who I've called you to be? Don't you think how long I've vied and I've tried for you to get your voice back? Why have I tried to get you back in alignment with me so you can speak about my goodness and stop hiding? That's why I'm flushing you out of darkness. I'm flushing you out so you can start speaking the truth and who you really are. There is a word. There are things down inside of you that have to come out, but the enemy's trying to suppress it. Tell him to stop. Lift that depression. Lift that suppression. How do I do that? You know how to do that. Start lifting your voice. You've been given weapons. Worship is a weapon. Your voice is a weapon. But we've got to get down to that. Because it's not a God problem. It's a truth problem. You know truth. I'm confident that you know truth. I'm confident. Because things have been deposited into your life. And the Bible says that when God sends out the word, it accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish. It will not turn back to him void or return back to him void. So for you, the word is in there. The issue is appropriating the truth with what you are coming against. I just don't feel like it. There's the problem. It's not a feeling thing. It's a faith thing. I'll provide with you and with it a way of escape. There it is. It may not be what you want, but there it is. That's the way. Purity is the way. Obedience is the way. No, that just can't be. That's the way. And I know it's the way. Why? Because I'm on a rock. When I'm split and I'm wavering between two opinions, it's hard for me to be confident in what is real and what is not real because I've allowed sin, I've allowed compromise into my life. And so I'm not really where I should be. And so when I'm not really where I should be, it's hard for me to approach the throne with confidence because you know and God knows that you are far from where you need to be. You are far. And you're calling out to God, but you're not calling out to him in a place of boldness. You're calling out to him with a whisper or a voice. Hey, if you're still there, because you're suffocating by the weight of your decisions. But you're precious. And God knows because inside of you, it's there. And God sees it, but it's buried. And a lot of times it's buried by things that we've allowed, by things we have entered into, and God has to go to work to get that uncovered. Rejection, abandonment. We talk about this because it is so key because it drives people away from God. And when it drives people away from God, they end up falling into sin and compromise and deception, and they start walking in lies in their life. And you know what I'm talking about. You are a byproduct of your environment, whether you want to agree or not. Okay? You do things because your family did things. While wonderful and while traditional, it may not be beneficial for you in the long run to continue in some of those things. And I love grandma, I love all that, but when I met Jesus, that changed. What God did with grandma is what God did with grandma. Now God is doing something with Richie. Now God is doing something with Misty. Now God is doing something with you. And so God goes to work to break off generational curses. Listen, I'm not just talking about the big ones. Alcohol, abuse, because we go there. I'm talking about emotional things that keep you captive, passive aggressiveness, things that you lean back into because they're comfortable. God says we're breaking all that stuff off because that is not profitable for you. That is not, I'm looking for someone who's built, I need faith built, okay? I need you to walk in confidence because of who you are. I need you to understand that I've given you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, all that stuff. I need that operating in your life. I don't need you leaning on what grandma showed you. I don't need you leaning on that stuff. That is not you. That is unhealthy. And so when God brings you away from that and cuts stuff off, thank you, Jesus, that you did something that was beneficial for me because I like me today. I like the way I look. I like the way I sound. And if you don't like it, tough. Because I know how precious because of what he took me through. To go through that much work to get me to see who I really am, that's a God worth serving and trusted even when it's hard. You know what? Thank you, Jesus, for that last one was hard and difficult, but guess what? I learned something in that one. Now my eyes are even more crazier. Now, because my love for you has gone to another level. Now my perseverance is off the charts. Now my character is different. And guess what? My hope, you can't compare. Nothing can compare with the hope. You can't bring anything to me right now. I said, no, God can take care of that. You can't, because of who he is. Because he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He brings hope to those who are in the Bible. There's hope for you today. God said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Just come to me. I'm trying to build you. You're being built. Don't you get that? You're being built. And anytime you start building something, it takes a while to build it because there are directions. There are things that are in there. You're trying to put things together. And God is a master builder. There's no blueprint to how God wants to build your life. Well, how's God going to do it? It's going to be different with you than it is with me. The principles will be the same. I'm still going to have to learn to persevere. Character is still going to be developed, and I'm going to have to learn the value of hope and who I am. The principles are the same, but God's going to do it different with you because your makeup's different. Your DNA's different. Where you came from is different. Where God has taken you to is different. So you can't mess with somebody else's process and what they're dealing with. You can encourage them and pray for them, but allow God to get in because you're being built so that you can stand up in life. You know, when you're first saved, you're like that baby. You're like newborn babes, and you're just craving milk, you know. You're wobbly, right? You just want milk. When you understand the value, what milk does for you, yeah, it does a body good, but it strengthens your bones, especially as a baby, as you're getting to grow. You need it. It's essential. The same thing. First Peter, he talks about craving the word like new milk because you need it like newborn babes. Now that you've tasted that God is good, get into the word, suck on the word. That's what he's saying. Because it's nourishment for you. Because as you do that, guess what? You strengthen your inner man. And all of a sudden, your spirit man begins to grow. And what used to bother you doesn't bother you anymore. And so now you're strengthened in the midst of life's pressure and difficulties because you learned how to stand in the middle of it. You've learned some lessons. Now you've learned perseverance. Now your character is different. Now your hope is like a shield. Things just come against you. They might affect you for a little bit, but they bounce right back off. Why? Because the word is inside of you. It's working. It's sharp. It's cut away stuff that was not good for you. Now things that were bothering you before don't bother you. You're part of a new line now. You see things differently. You speak in faith now. You don't worry about things that you can't control. Now emotionally you're doing better. Why? Because you're on the rock. You're on the chief cornerstone. You're learning to feed yourself. Now you're strengthened in God's word and things don't affect you as much. That's what God is looking for. When you get hit, you don't get knocked down. Now as you grow, God said, we're going to put some weight on you. And the only way you're going to be able to do this is by staying on the rock. Because the weight in itself will just kill you. Success brings pressure. It brings stress. Promotion brings pressure. It brings stress. God says, stay on me. I'm going to give you what you need to handle it. Handle it. You don't let what somebody else has walked through dictate your journey. Just because they did doesn't mean you are. I'm going to say it again. Just because they did doesn't mean you are. And so God said, I'm going to teach you how to learn, how to hold the weight. Let's see if you get it. Hold the weight. If I did this for the next 25 minutes, I'm sweating now. I'd be sweating. But guess what? When I release it, it teaches me something about how much I can hold. Not just how much I can hold, but how long I can hold it. So we've got people catching stuff, but they can't hold it. Hands are open, Ball's being thrown. Ball going right through their hands. Some people hitting their hands and just going. Because they don't have a sticking mechanism to catch it. The word is not strong enough. It hasn't bound itself to your spirit so that when it comes in, you can't hold it and grab onto it because you have a foundation that you can stand with it. God's throwing things at you all the time. All the time. It's a matter of how you're receiving it. God is trying to speak life into you, but it's hitting dead zones. Dead zones. Because we can't hold it. It's because that area of your life is dead. There's no life in it. And you know those areas of your life that are not moving, they're not working right, and God's trying to speak life into it. Get it moving. You know the areas of your life that are stuck. God said, I'm trying to get you unstuck. You know the area that you come up to, and you know the area that I need you to make progress here. Make progress, and we get stuck. God said, I'm going to keep blowing life into that, so that wall that you have up every time we try to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory comes down, so you can actually start making progress and see that I'm good. So I'm going to keep bringing you up against that wall. Yeah, that's how good I am. I'm going to keep bringing you up against that wall until that thing, and what it is, that barrier in your mind breaks. Because that barrier in your mind has got you shackled to who you think I am. But I'm trying to get you unshackled so you can see who I am. Who I am. So God loves you. Yeah, he does. But rejection's got to go. The fear of it has to go. Has to. And if we were to look back over our life, we can pinpoint things back to a season or something that forced us into hiding. Because we got afraid, something got in, fear took a hold, and instead of opening ourselves back up again, then what we did, we said, instead of me being hurt and I don't want to feel like that ever again, we close up shop and we said, now I want to do things that are comfortable. And that's when temptation has a way to get in, and the enemy has a way to get in to force you to start thinking differently, and you start thinking differently about your life, who you are, your body. And you become comfortable with sin. And you would say, well, it's not really my fault. Well, what happens is if you're not careful and you know, if you shut down and you don't give God access, then what you've essentially said is that there's a better way. It's a better way. And the enemy is over here like, yeah, there is. Don't you know that at the same time that God is ruling you by his spirit, so the enemy is? You are being wooed right now because of that, because sin is still in the world, because we still deal with sin, and we will until we die. That temptation and that wooing is there. The goal is that as you begin to grow and understand that God is good, that the draw of it is not as strong anymore. You don't smell it as much anymore. Because you've tasted and seen that God is good. And so even though when you sense it, you say, that's foreign to me now. I'm going to come back here. Even though it might tickle you a little bit and it, nah, he's still good. Where before it would have been like, It's not that way anymore. Because you've seen that God is good. Why? Because you're being built. Being built. So we got to get to the root of stuff. And that's what God's doing. God is not playing the church game anymore. And we're going to say it consistently. And Toby was so great a couple weeks ago to share about that. God wants to bless me. Absolutely. Absolutely. God has good things. Absolutely he does. Correct? So, but there are going to be some things that I have to learn about Christianity. There are some lessons that I have to learn in order if I'm going to be productive and successful in this walk. I remember how the old walk was. This walk now is different. I got to deal with strange and fiery trials, strongholds, demonic influences. I got to deal with the supernatural. You're dealing with stuff that is beyond your ability to see. So you need to be trained in that. God wants me to be blessed. He does. But more so, he wants you to be trained. Because eventually you'll be reigning with him. So he wants you to be trained. And as you're being trained, God will bless you with what you need. As you're enlisted in God's army, God is going to give you what you need to fight effectively. He's going to give you what you need. At the same time, he's going to go to those parts in your life that are causing separation between you and him. You and him. The hurts. And once you get to God, you'll begin to see that failure was not that big of a deal. It's not. It's never final. Never. Because God has always been. And so if I can recognize that, then I can come more freely to him with open arms instead of being closed off because of God who already sees. This morning we listened to a song in Team Rally, talked about coming out of hiding because I hold the key. You've been on lockdown, but I hold the key. Only God could hold the key to your deliverance and open the doors of your heart that are locked. Only God can. Only God can see what you even hide. And if you allow him to get into those hard places, I promise that you'll see he's never left you and he's never abandoned you. That you're safe and secure in him. But you have to be willing and vulnerable to be able to do that. You have to. The more I come clean with God, the more I see of him. The more I empty my pockets, I'm not talking about financially, the more I've emptied my pockets of what I have in there, the better our relationship goes. The more I can open myself up to the leading of his spirit, the better it is. Because his eye will always find you, no matter how hard you try to hide. And his hand will always guide you. Always. That's what a loving father does. Always guide you. Even if that means disciplining. Even if that means discipline. He said, I'll fight with you, but it's for a good reason. Don't you want that? Don't you want that, right? I know you're like, don't be honest. I can't. Let's not be honest because then he'll come and actually do it. So, yeah, we get like that. I want it, but I don't, you know. You're glad when certain people bother you. Because to you, it's not a bother. That's nothing. Sure. Sure, that doesn't bother me at all. Because it's your joy to do it, right? God takes joy in bothering you. And he understands that your response may not be reciprocated in the way that his response is toward you. Because he knows that you don't understand fully what he's doing. Because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God, I don't know what you're doing. I know, but I still love you. Trust me. And so when I go through that process, I understand more and more that he is good. He is good. And I'm more apt to stay close to here as opposed to getting off for something that might only be temporary. So I'm telling you today that if you are off, make your way back. Make your way back. Because this hasn't moved. You'll find that he's still there. And you understand more of a facet of God's love like you haven't before because I've always been their son. I've always been their daughter. Come back. Okay. Prodigal sons and prodigal daughters are coming back in church world, man. God wants to bring them back. You're the city on a hill that reflects God's goodness so that they, as they are coming back, they could see truth. That's why you emphasize it. We emphasize stability and we emphasize being in the right place because people are watching. Whether you realize it or not, they're watching. And you are the magnet that God's going to use to begin to draw people in. Because of the Spirit of God inside of you. As He illuminates you, all of a sudden it's like something about that. And as they do that, I get a little closer. They get a little closer to the rock. Be on your guard. Be on your post. Stay up on the rock. Stay up on it. You too grown now to get off the rock. Listen, even if you get off the rock, guess what? Get back on. You know, right? When you get up, well, I get back. You know, now it's quicker. I get back on. It's better here. It's better. You know, before it was like, eh, no, now it's like, no, too much out there. Too much spiritual. No, too much is too open. I know the back here. And you might think, well, you soft. Nah, just smarter now. Just smarter now. Just smart. It's okay. You can say it. Just smarter now. Just smarter. Let's all stand on our feet.